Hello team, hope you're well. It's been a while. I haven't been on here since November last year. I felt a bit stuck every time I went to record a podcast episode because there's just so much happening, and sometimes I do find it hard to give and to share when I'm still working through myself. But I'm happy, I'm well. I've just moved into a little studio flat. I bought a fiddle leaf fig, some sage, white couches, and it's feeling a lot like my old apartment back home in Australia. And I'm really loving having my own space. At times it can be a bit lonely, especially in a foreign city. I've lived by myself before, but it's kind of a different kettle of fish when you're in a new city. I'm really learning how to be in my own company and enjoy my own time, and to also force myself outside to be social, which is sometimes more of a challenge than anything else. But no, that's just a little update. So you have some proof of life. I'm still here. And like I said, I haven't recorded any episodes in a long time. My psychology studies are on hold. They are deferred. I'm focusing on survival in London and focusing on my job and, you know, really putting all of my energy into this experience that I've wanted for so long and worked so hard for. So the psych study is on hold until, I think, September, because I've deferred it so many times. My uni were like, you have to do it. So let's see how we go. And I guess because of that, I've had this sense of, okay, well, if I'm not studying, what do I talk about on my podcast? I find it can be challenging talking about my own stuff. My last few episodes were very much centered around themes that were taking place in my life at the time. And I found it really challenging because it's so super raw and super vulnerable, and times where it probably was too close, and times where I spoke about things that, you know, maybe I wasn't ready to talk about yet, but I did it and I shared it and had some really lovely messages from you all saying that it helped you in some way or that you could relate to certain parts, and that's always so reassuring for me to hear. So I guess now I'm just at a point where I'm trying to figure out what steps to take next with the podcast. It's something that I want to keep there in the background. I do love conversation. I love sharing, learning, teaching, all of those things simultaneously. So it's a platform that I will keep alive, even if I go quiet for periods. And that is kind of on brand for me. I try to be routine and structure-based, but I think I'm not. I have cycles, I have ups, downs, moments where I need to refresh, recharge, gain inspiration, moments where I need to be quiet, where I need to rest. So I'm working through all of those phases and bringing content to you as it bubbles up as inspiration within me. I had a really great spark of inspiration today because I just went to a workshop, which I will tell you more about. But before I did that, I just wanted to give a quick intro, a quick life update, a check-in before we dive into a really exciting topic. So welcome back. Happy to have you here again in this new year, 2024. And let's dive in. Okay, so I just came away from a really interesting workshop at a clinic where I get my acupuncture, and it was run by two women, Chloe and Tara. So Tara is a certified women's health coach. I'm not 100% sure how to say her last name. I think it's Gosh, but there's an H between the G and the O. And then Chloe Ogden is the co-founder of Miller's Way Project, which is the name of this clinic. And basically the workshop was all about the menstrual cycle from an Eastern and a Western medical perspective. So I wanted to share some of the key takeaways because it was so eye-opening to me. I have been very interested in cycles and patterns of humans because I think everything else in the world operates in seasons, in rhythms, cycles. You look at nature from, you know, summer to winter, spring, autumn. And the funny thing about humans is that we're part of nature, but we are expected in many ways to show up the same every day. And one thing I've learned about myself is that I simply do not show up the same every day. I'm very cyclical. I have ups and downs. I have moods. I'm very impacted by my hormones, amongst other things, which I'm still trying to learn and understand. But I was really drawn to this workshop because it was this coming together of Eastern and Western mentalities, and I think both are really important to look at. I have been raised in a very Western medicine perspective. My dad's a doctor, my mum was a nurse, and we're very much a family in that Western medical side. But I myself have come into much more Eastern medicine practices throughout the last 10 years or so as I've been on my own healing journey. So that includes Reiki, it includes acupuncture, naturopathy, I think that's how you say it, seeing a naturopath, kinesiology, and all of these other modalities, acupuncture, traditional Chinese medicine, herbs, you name it, I've probably tried it, craniosacral therapy, the list continues. And what I really love about it is it provides a slightly more natural way to approach health from a very holistic lens. So rather than treating symptoms, it tries to get to the cause and to the root, I guess. And I'm learning a lot more about symptoms and causes because people often describe what is actually a symptom as a cause. For instance, someone might say, you have anxiety, and anxiety is causing high blood pressure, heart palpitations, social withdrawal, body temperature increase, you name it. But what I'm coming to learn is that anxiety is actually a symptom of something else, because we're not born with anxiety. We are born healthy, neutral, and as we get older, as we have different life experiences, exposure to certain things, this aspect of nurture comes in, and it can bring illness, disease, symptoms. So it's something that I'm very interested in and still very much exploring. I don't have the answers. I'm not an expert, but it's something that I love learning about because, I don't know, I'm truly passionate about it. So anyway, I've got my little booklet up in front of me from today and lots of note-taking as we went. But first, we heard from Tara, who spoke about periods and menstruation from a Western perspective. And she really spoke about the 28, 29, 30, whatever day cycle. We all have a slightly different duration from having your period to going into the luteal phase and ovulation, all of the different phases. I think there's four. And all of the hormones that change throughout that cycle. And this looks different from when you're in your teenage years versus in your 20s to 30s into perimenopause. Oh gosh, I've forgotten the terminology. But basically from typically like 40s onwards as we enter the phase called menopause. And I actually learned today that menopause actually only describes a one-day event, and that is where you don't have your period for 12 months. So menopause is the day that that happens, which is interesting because I think we often classify it as a life stage. So anyway, the interesting thing about this is that throughout this 28-day cycle, you have a pattern of estrogen where it spikes after a few days after your period, and then it starts to dip down as you enter the luteal phase, and progesterone peaks. So it basically can make you feel moody. It can cause you to want more rest. It makes you more hungry. When we're in this phase, our blood sugar levels are not regulated, so we may feel like we need more fat, more fuel, and that is all totally normal. And I think a lot of us as women are not listening to our bodies in this stage. Sometimes we have anger, rage, depression. It looks different for everyone, but we basically try to show up the same as we were if we were ovulating. And that is when we're sparkly and bright. And I love this woman actually referred to it as like the Beyoncé stage, where you're just a star. You're social, you're generous, you're giving, you're adaptable, you're happy. And it's this sort of summer, spring season of your cycle versus the more winter, autumn cycles, which happen before your period, where we go inward. And what I find fascinating is, you know, how do we actually use this knowledge and bring it into reality? Because a lot of us have demanding lifestyles, full-time jobs, children, we're caregivers, whatever it may be, we have a lot of pressure on us in life to show up, to give, to care, to be generous with our time, with our energy. But if you're a week out from your period, you're cramping, you're aching, you're having mood swings, it can be really hard to give during those phases. And I think a lot of us judge ourselves because of that. I know for me, I have about maybe a week to 10-day period before I get my period where I'm just a human demon, to be honest. And this is actually could be referred to as PMS, but typically PMS is only 3 to 7 days before you actually get your period. And then there's another term which I just learned about today, and that's called PMDD, and that's 7 to 14 days. So it's pretty much the second half of your cycle, you just feel awful. And this, according to the statistics, only impacts 1 in 20 women. But Tara, who spoke to us today, said that it's probably a lot higher in reality. And it's just an extension of those PMS symptoms for a much longer time. So when you're in these phases, it's really important to just remember that it is a stage of your cycle and to sort of cheerlead yourself through it. And so what you can do is actually track down in a journal what you're feeling each day, and you'll probably notice some typical patterns continue to emerge. So maybe on day 6, you feel angry. Maybe on day 10, you feel social. Maybe on day 25, you just need to rest and sleep and eat. And if you track this over a 3-month or so period, you'll probably notice similar patterns occur. So if and when you drop down into a low, you can say, all right, it's okay. I just need to get through to day 25, for instance, and just ride that wave for 3 days before I know I'll come back. Because I think sometimes when we're in a bad state, we feel like it is forever. We feel like it's us, there's something wrong with us, I'm broken, I need fixing. No, it's just you're in a certain stage of your cycle and you will come back out. She also spoke a lot about different ways to regulate your cycle. Essentially, we shouldn't really have period pain. We shouldn't really have PMS. These are all issues that come on due to often lifestyle factors, diet. So the really important things to keep in mind is managing your cortisol, so your stress hormones, trying to relax and empty your stress bucket at the end of each day, whether that's through meditating or yoga practice, running, a hobby, something that gets you into your flow state, even just having a little lie down at the end of your workday and listening to some calming music. And also insulin is a really important one. So that's blood sugar levels, fats, carbohydrates, particularly in that week leading up to our period. So just making sure that you're not going to have anything that's going to really spike your blood sugar levels. So just having more healthy fats, protein. And Tara said to have protein within the first sort of hour, hour and a half of your day is really good during that period. And making sure that you're not restricting. Another really important one is hormones and gut, your thyroid, making sure that if you are having really bad symptoms, you're getting the right tests. So you might want to do blood tests for like vitamin D, iron, B12, checking your thyroid, hormone testing, and sleep is another really important one. So I read Matthew Walker's book, Why We Sleep, and I actually did a whole episode on it. And that says that we need 8 hours. Tara actually recommends 8 to 10 hours, so even more. And I've actually started tracking my sleep in the last week or so. And I've always thought myself to be an 8 hour gal. And even though I've been in bed for 8 hours, the tracker tells me that I've actually been asleep for like 6.5. And I think this week's been particularly bad because I've had a bad cough. So anyway, those were really the key takeaways for me about the hormones, blood sugar, cortisol, really just thinking about how we can regulate our nervous systems throughout the 1 month cycle and to love ourselves no matter what stage we're in. Maybe we're bright and shiny in the ovulation phase. It's really easy to love yourself then, but also just focusing on the benefits of the other stages. For instance, the week before you get your period, you are very organized, you know, checking things off the list, task oriented, and they're things to celebrate. So looking at the pros and cons of each of the stages and trying to love yourself a little more during the autumn and winter stages of your cycle. So that was really it from a Western perspective. And then we moved into the Eastern perspective with Chloe Ogden. And this was really interesting. It also focused a lot on rhythms and cycles. And it was grounded in traditional Chinese medicine. So she spoke a lot about yin and yang energies and how periods tend to come in the deepest part of our yin cycle. So the yin is the moon side versus the sun. It is darkness. It is about cleansing and going inward. It's cold versus the yang, which is hot. It's the sun. It's fire. It's energy. So these two forces, I guess, throughout that 1 month cycle. And she spoke about the quality of blood and energy throughout the cycle. She sort of described the body as being a landscape and having an internal weather pattern. She spoke about the cause of disease and the importance of blood. She also spoke a lot about overthinking and how, although we don't really associate the mind with blood, the mind uses a lot of glucose, which requires more energy, more blood from the body. And the stagnation of blood or of qi, which is energy, can come from being cold, and not cold as in physically shivering, but certain diets are more focused on cold foods. So if you think about, you know, vegan, some vegetarian diets, it's a bit more of a cool food as opposed to more of a hot diet, which might be more meats, cooked foods, which are actually a lot easier for our bodies to digest because it's already sort of been cooked for us prior to digestion. And she also spoke about damp environments in the body. So this can come from dairy or from different aspects that we ingest, or energetically being in certain environments can cause dampness or cold or too much heat as well. And she also spoke about the color of the tongue, which is something I've heard of before, how if you have like a white coat over your tongue, it can indicate dampness in your body. Red can indicate heat. And then a really pale tongue can represent deficiency of some sort. So whether it's iron or just energy deficiency. Warmth opens capillaries. So she also spoke about foot soaks, which I thought was a really interesting one, because a lot of women have cold feet and hands. Like, I just think so many women talk about this in like a very, you know, passerby sense, just like, oh my God, feel how cold my hands are, or my feet are freezing. And it actually can be to do with circulation and blood not pumping through to the hands and the feet. So a foot soak during premenstrual symptoms can be really helpful, because where the warmth goes, the blood goes. So if you dip your feet into a warm bath, and you can mix things like Epsom salts, chili, ginger, pepper, that will draw heat and blood to the feet to create that downward flow of blood. And there's also diet options for vegetarians, so just eating iron, which can come from foods like mushrooms, dark leafy greens. Also, the exercise that we do can really impact our blood and our energy. I have been very into the sauna over the last few months, but I actually learned today that sweating results in this energy and this blood depletion. So I've been feeling very exhausted the last few weeks, and it was a bit of an alarm bell for me, because I've been going to the sauna like at least 3-4 times a week and sweating profusely. So I'm going to slow down on that. And it's about containing the energy and about building muscle tissue, doing more strength, weight training, but also other energetic exercises like Qigong, Tai Chi, yoga, anything that sort of moves the blood in the body, because that's what traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture, is all about. The last one we spoke about was emotional hygiene. So really healthily expressing your emotions. Like I said earlier, this can be really hard to do when you're in a crappy part of your cycle. If you're feeling angry, sad, depressed, whatever, it can be really hard to express those emotions, especially as women. I think anger is a really hard emotion to feel and express, but if we don't, it gets stuck in our body. So it's really about accepting those emotions and then airing them out in a way that is healthy. So moving that, what they call like a wood energy, from the liver where it stagnates. So things like boxing can be really good, weight training. I also find anything like high cardio can be really good for this, just to move that sort of aggression and that, I'm going to say testosterone, but I don't even know if that's the hormone, but it's just that like typically masculine energy, moving that up and out of our body. So those were my key takeaways from today. They were both such incredible women. I would actually love to do another workshop with them, because this was one of their first workshops, and they actually said that your menstrual cycle reflects everything that's happening, not only from the last month, but the last 6 months. So sometimes if you start implementing these strategies, looking after yourself in new ways, it can take 6 months to kick into your menstrual cycle. So I think that can be tricky, because we all love a bit of instant gratification, quick results. It doesn't quite work like that, but it's a very compounding effect, and looking after yourself at every stage of the cycle accumulates and helps build that sense of balance. So I hope you learned something new from my little outtake from today. I had so much fun. It was also just so nice connecting with a community of women who shared this passion that I have. It's just cool when you find like-minded souls who you can bond with over your little geeky interests, whatever they may be. Hope you enjoyed. Have a lovely rest of your day, whatever you may be doing, and I'll see you back here next time.